Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 124. Patrick here, CJ Evolution. This is a podcast for the criminal justice professional like you, hosted by me, another criminal justice professional. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Sandy Hook, Newtown, Connecticut, Bailey, Colorado, Columbine, Colorado. What do all three of these venues have in common? They are the scenes of some of the most deadliest school shootings in history. And unfortunately, they don't end with these three horrific incidents. There are many, many more in the last 15, 20 years that have occurred throughout the country, around the globe. I wanted to talk today about active shooter and whether or not your department, whether or not your community is prepared. Active shooter incidents are increasing in America and around the globe. Local leaders, governments, police officials have an affirmative duty to guide preparation, prevention, and response actions to limit the loss of life in the face of this alarming trend. Not only must these efforts knit together first responders, including police, fire, and EMS, into an integrated response, but research and experience indicates that local governments must increasingly involve and educate residents and business people on what to do when confronted with such a threat or an active shooter itself. Big or small, no community is immune from this deadly behavior. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there were 277 mass shootings in 2014, 332 in 2015, and 191 mass shootings in 2016, up through July 16th, 2016. As managers, people that work in law enforcement, first responders, we need to make sure our organization's general emergency preparedness plan, including equipment, is up to date. Equip and practice setting up an emergency operations center, or an EOC. I know my department, along with many other departments, do this. This will be the nerve center that manages the local response to the active shooter and mass casualty incident. An EOC does not need to be a standalone building. It requires a large enough space that can be set up with the necessary furniture and equipment in a reasonable period of time. Invest in emergency training such as ICS or NIMS, which is National Incident Management System. All too often, city officials give lip service to the system and its proven techniques. It really works. Train on it so it becomes second nature. Orient your disaster service workers and plan to meet their needs during an emergency. Most importantly, exercise your plans and check your equipment quarterly, every day if possible, using different scenarios, including an active shooter. For too long, law enforcement, fire, and EMS have perceived their first responder roles as independent of one another. This is a huge mistake. Most of us has heard of unified command falling under ICS. We need to practice what we preach. All three need to train together to provide an integrated response and must be comfortable with an integrated incident command structure. Provide the necessary equipment for your first responders, including ballistic vests, helmets, and eyewear, assault rifles for your law enforcement out there. Get your first responders into major public and private facilities so that they are familiar with the layouts and train in them when possible. Similarly, make sure your radio and communication systems are up to snuff. If you don't have communications, you don't have anything, right? This means that they are interoperable so that police, fire, public works, the schools, local cities, and the county can all talk with one another seamlessly. We need to create redundant systems. It is a best practice to provide direct and simple training for your residents and business people about what to do in the event of an active shooter. Many jurisdictions are using instructional videos or local cable television and at community events, service clubs, and other gatherings, and are encouraging employers to show them to their employees. The common advice is to run, hide, and fight when the shooter is active. I will have some good videos linked up into the show notes that you can check out later on if you'd like. These videos can be disturbing, but the information they contain can help prevent people from freezing up and becoming easy targets. Advanced active shooter prevention requires regular and structured communication between law enforcement, mental health, social workers, schools, and community nonprofits dealing with at-risk populations. Too often, there are danger signs that are not shared that could have been acted upon. Some saving lives, coping strategies, empirical evidence indicates that the speed of the emergency medical response is the key to saving lives. We had, in my department, we were fortunate enough to have one of the commanders, one of the commanders at the Aurora 16, the theater shooting that happened a couple years back. And one of the commanders that came and talked, gave us a debrief among many other agencies in the area. He talked about this exact point where emergency medical response is the key to saving lives. They were actually putting victims in the police cars, getting them to the hospital. That's what it took because they didn't have enough ambulances. So early aggressive hemorrhage control is essential for better outcomes. All first responders need to know how to use tourniquets and hemostatic agents like gauze for severe bleeding. Rendering life-saving care in warm zones by EMS, fire, and law enforcement is relatively a new paradigm supported by data. The American College of Surgeons studied lessons learned from the battlefield and the response to active shooter events in the United States and has made recommendations known as the Hartford Consensus about how emergency workers should respond in these situations. And they came up with a great acronym, which is called THREAT. And each letter obviously stands for something. The T is threat suppression. The H is hemorrhage control. RE is rapid evacuation. A is assessment by medical personnel. And T is transport to definitive care. So some other data on active shooters. There is no one demographic profile of an active shooter, which is interesting. Many active shooters display observable pre-attack behaviors, which, if recognized, can lead to the disruption of the planned attack. Bystanders generally represent the greatest opportunity for the detection and recognition of an active shooter prior to his or her attack. Active shooter incidents often occur in small and medium-sized communities where police departments are limited by budget constraints and small workforces. The average active shooter incident lasts 12 minutes, 37% less than 5 minutes. Overwhelmingly, the offender is a single shooter, 98%, primarily male, 97%. In 40% of the instances, they kill themselves. 2% of the shooters bring improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, as an additional weapon. In 10% of the cases, the shooter stops and walks away. In 20% of the cases, the shooter becomes mobile, moving to another location. 43% of the time, the crime is over before police arrive. In 57% of the shootings, an officer arrives while the shooting is still underway. The shooter often stops as soon as he hears or sees law enforcement, sometimes during his anger or turning his anger or aggression on law enforcement. Patrol officers are most likely responding alone or with a partner. When responding alone, 75% had to take action. A third of those officers who enter the incident alone are shot by the intruder. Community gatherings to remember and unite must be organized after something terrible like this happens. First responders will also need the help in dealing with the trauma of the shooting. Having good relationships with these support groups in place prior to an active shooter event will be beneficial when the time comes. Expect media saturation for at least a week after the shooting incident. The public information officer will be stretched to his or her limits, so be sure the individual gets the requisite training in advance. Be prepared. Sadly, active shooters are increasingly common in civil society. Local governments must prepare for, prevent where possible, and respond to mass shootings as an important subset of public safety and emergency service. Very, very somber topic, but one that is worth going over again, folks. I hope you find this information valuable, beneficial. Take it back to your departments. Talk about this stuff. We certainly haven't covered everything that needs to be covered in a mass shooting or an active shooter event, but at least to get your mind working, folks. Remember, if it is predictable, it is preventable. That is a great quote by Gordon Graham. So with that, folks, I'm going to go ahead and sign up. I'll have some great information, videos that you can check out in the show notes. Thank you to all the first responders out there protecting us day in and day out. Thank you, brave men and women who wear the uniform, and anybody else who is in the criminal justice field. Until next time, folks, stay tuned. We got a lot of great guests coming up. Until then, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.